It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe. Touchdown. Touchdown, Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20. Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam. Waits for the snap into place. There it is, the kick is up, the kick is good!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much, and welcome into the show, everybody. Have you gotten last week out of your system yet? I certainly have not, but we're going to try to move on tonight from Oklahoma to Texas A&M. As far as football is concerned, we'll talk a little bit about those two ball games coming up. Some bad news in the injury column, as I'm sure most of you have heard by now, for the Auburn football team this week is Horatio Fields has a broken foot in practice and looks like he'll be out for a few weeks and certainly miss this weekend's game down in Aggieland. Terrible news this week as far as Rudy Johnson, one of our former players, one of the all-time great running backs at Auburn. We lost him way too early, apparently involving a traumatic brain injury from his time playing football. We'll talk about Rudy a little bit tonight. We'll also talk about the big news of the week as Coach Bruce Pearl has decided to step down as the Auburn basketball coach, and who else to fill his shoes but Stephen Pearl, his son, stepping in, already has the contract signed, sealed, and delivered. So we'll talk about the big news in basketball as well. Right now, let's hear some of that press conference from this week. Wednesday morning, Stephen Pearl introduced as the head coach of the Tigers. We'll listen in for a little bit, a little extended comments here from Coach Pearl, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Stay right here.
It's an honor to lead this university and this program into the next chapter of Auburn basketball. I've been preparing for this moment my entire life. You know, the last 16 years, I've been in every aspect that is college basketball. I played at the University of Tennessee, not very well, but I did play at the University of Tennessee as a player, as a student athlete. And then I started my journey here at Auburn in 2014. I started out as an assistant strength coach under Damon Davis. I worked my way up to director of basketball operations, was then promoted to assistant coach, and then was promoted to associate head coach and our defensive coordinator. That journey has shaped how I lead, how I listen, and how I build. it's given me a front row seat to the principles of what have made this program so successful. And that perspective, I plan to carry them forward with purpose. Listen, I fully understand the weight of this opportunity. I embrace it with gratitude, humility, and resolve. I know it comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility, okay? It's a different level of expectation, and it's a gold standard that Bruce Pearl has brought to this fine institution and this fine basketball program. It's given me a front row seat, okay, and it's given me the perspective I need to carry him forward. I will go to work every single day with the focus and the determination to reward you all for allowing me the opportunity of a lifetime to lead this program. I am here to rise to the moment. Well, today is technically, you know, a news conference welcoming me as your head coach. I want to encourage the Auburn family and the people in this room that that's not how this should be looked at. The Auburn family today should be celebrating the retention of the staff right here. This staff has been with BP for a very long time, and this staff is a big reason why this program has reached unprecedented heights. I recognize following the greatest coach in Auburn basketball history, a coach who's dominated this league for the last 8 years, is a daunting task. But what gives me tremendous confidence is those men right over there. This staff is one that BP has empowered, it's one that he's entrusted, and it's one that has their fingerprints all over the success of this program. BP said for a really long time that we have the best staff in college basketball, and he's 100% right. We were all rattled on Monday, me especially, because of, you know, some of your reactions. We were, you know, surprised. There's a famous saying, excuse my English, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'd be a fool if I were to change things just for the sake of changing, just to prove to people that I'm not BP. The truth is, so many of the principles and the practices that we've built this program on over the last 11 years are things that all of us have had our hands on every single day in this staff to have the success we've had over the last 11 years. When it comes to academic expectations, our character assessments, team building, servant leadership, recruiting philosophy, player development, offensive and defensive game planning, you're going to see a lot of the same things that you've seen over the last 11 years that has guided us, because they've delivered results. The expectations are the expectations, and there's only one way to tackle those, and that's to dive in head first. And we tell our players all the time, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. We got to be comfortable in these expectations, because they are what they are. The expectation is to win championships. The expectation is to graduate our players. The expectation is to help get our guys to the next level. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what our commitment is to these young men. That's what our commitment is, you know, to this university. And that's what our commitment is to this fan base. So we're not shying away from what it is. We understand what it is. I don't think a lot of coaches would have been lining up for this job just because of following him is going to be really difficult. But I think, you know, I know that this staff is the staff that's capable of doing it, and it's the staff that's going to do it. So we're going to dive in head first and obviously be really excited about the challenge. And we're going to get comfortable in those expectations.
Okay, so the comments of the new coach, Stephen Pearl there. Kevin Fechner, Mr. Auburn, is with us to talk some basketball. And Kevin, you heard Stephen Pearl there, the introductory press conference, if we needed that. What was your impression of that on Wednesday of this week?
It's still sinking in when you just said, you know, head coach Stephen Pearl. I mean, who saw that coming? I guess some folks did, but not a lot.
A lot of folks, Kevin.
Yeah. you know, I wish him well. He's got big shoes to fill. Apparently, he's been recruiting a lot of the guys that we have here right now. He's been coaching defense the last few years, so he knows how to game plan. But the biggest question that he's going to have to answer is when it's, you know, nut crunching time, you know, the end of the game, can he call the right play to get us a basket or to get us a defensive stop, you know, against an Ole Miss, against an Alabama, against an NC State that we found out is going to be at 8 o'clock on December 3rd. I mean, can he coach as a head coach as opposed to being this defense only? Can he make the right calls? Does he know when to call a 20-second timeout, when to help stop a run? I mean, these are things that he hasn't experienced because he hasn't been a head coach. So this will be interesting to see what we do. I wish him all the best, and I'm going to support him, and we're going to go to these games and see. But we hope we can keep that same intensity, keep our players that have been coming here the last few years, keep them coming and wanting to come to Auburn.
Yeah. And the thing about it is it's never really worked before. We'll talk more about that in a second. First of all, let's talk about our sponsor always for the first segment, Big Mike Steakhouse. And what a place to go. This week after the game, we've got another 2:30 game against Texas A&M. So it's a good time to head over to Big Mike's after the game and get one of those big ribeyes. Right, Kevin?
Man, hopefully we will get a win this week against Texas A&M, and we'll be able to enjoy that steak a little bit better. For those who go, can enjoy it a little bit more. But yeah, I know we talked about this off air, but my wife was in Andalusia last week, and she went to Big Mike for dinner and enjoyed it and had her a filet. She loves a filet, and she loves especially one from Big Mike. So yeah, 2:30 kick. You can get there about 4 or 5 o'clock, maybe a little after halftime before fourth quarter, and enjoy a steak and all kind of other entrees, or maybe some appetizers and drinks.
Absolutely. Locations all around the state of Alabama. Go see them at BigMikesSteakhouse.com to get all that information. Salads, sandwiches, steaks, potatoes, great bread, great drinks. Go by and see Big Mike Steakhouse this weekend after the Auburn game, and watch the Georgia-Alabama game maybe. So enjoy that this weekend. Enjoy the ball game. Enjoy Big Mike Steakhouse. We'll be right back to talk more about Auburn basketball with Kevin Fichtner and Brian Brensfield joining us in a little bit. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Talking some Auburn basketball and football here on a Thursday night. Kevin Fichtner is with us, Mr. Auburn. And Kevin, want to get into a little bit more college basketball and what went on the plains in the past few days. As we talked about last segment, Stephen Pearl named the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. No head coaching experience. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Bruce Pearl stepping down after 11 seasons on the plains. I know you've been a big basketball supporter. You've been a big basketball fan. You followed this program like probably few have. Your memories, your thoughts on Bruce Pearl and what he's done on the plains in 11 seasons.
Well, all you got to know is that before Bruce Pearl, they weren't selling out tickets, even in Neville Arena. Once Bruce Pearl got here and he started getting some recruits and started putting his feet in the ground, you couldn't get a ticket. It's the hottest ticket in SEC, possibly around the country, to come to Neville Arena and watch an Auburn basketball game. Great memories. Obviously, two Final Fours. I remember him making an SEC run with a depleted roster, making it to the championship game, I believe, of the SEC championship tournament, with 4 or 5 days in a row of playing with a limited roster, and then building what we have now, which is what we think we are, a blue blood all of a sudden. Now we're constantly in the mix for an SEC championship. We're constantly in the mix for a top two or three seed in the big tournament. In two Final Fours within 5-6 years, I mean, he has turned this less basketball program that was in the middle of, you know, bad times into a powerhouse. I mean, Auburn basketball over Auburn football is what so many folks have talked about the last few years. I mean, who would have ever have thought that before he got here?
Yeah, he's done an amazing job at Auburn, no question about that, and built them. As Athletic Director Cohen said at the press conference Wednesday, we would expect Bruce Pearl to go into the Hall of Fame with his record, the College Basketball Hall of Fame, with his record and what he's done at Auburn and Tennessee and some other places. But the thing that is interesting, Kevin, is he's been such a success at Auburn, Bruce Pearl, and many people have speculated about Stephen Pearl becoming the head coach and following his dad at Auburn. It's not really a big secret, but to hear Stephen talk at the press conference, you would think he was in shock when he heard the news on Sunday. And then, oddly enough, right after Bruce Pearl told John Cohen that he wasn't coming back, right after that, Cohen gives the job to Stephen Pearl. It didn't take a lot of conversation there.
No, it didn't. And on top of that, he got a 5-year contract. It wasn't like an interim, let's give him a 1-2-year deal. He's got a 5-year contract. So I think this has been in the motion for a couple months, possibly.
Yeah.
And of course, Stephen, he's already in his coach talk. It was a surprise to him that his dad was going to retire. You know, he's already talking to the media the way he needs to. But once again, big shoes to fill. He's been a part of this program with his dad for quite a while. I know his knowledge is pretty deep. But the biggest thing Bruce did, we talked about memories, is that, you know, he would go on campus and get in water tanks and let students throw things at him to get dunked in the water. He would do the midnight study sessions during finals and show up with pizzas and donuts. And then anytime we had a late night game where they were camping out, the students in Pearlville, him and the players would go out there and get, once again, donuts or pizza. He was a man of the people. And that's what so many people could relate to him, because he was always out. He wasn't hiding in his house. He wasn't hiding in the Lake Martin house he has. You know, he was out there amongst the college kids. He knew what he needed to do to be a part of this community. And he doesn't want to leave. He loves it here now. But can Stephen do some of those things to keep those big time recruits coming and to be involved with the community of Auburn and carry on the tradition that his dad has, you know, set the standard for?
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure that Stephen Pearl will do the Pearlville thing at the home games, but like you said, the dunking tank, or all the things that Bruce Pearl did, buy kids meals at Mama Goldberg's or whatever. Is that Stephen Pearl's personality, or will that still be a part of Auburn basketball? That'll be interesting to see in the next couple of years. But as I mentioned last segment, this has rarely worked in college basketball. I think of Ray Meyer at DePaul. He turns the program over to his son. Didn't work. John Thompson, maybe not directly at Georgetown. He coached a while. His son did. Didn't really work that well. And Bobby Knight at Texas Tech turns the program over to Pat Knight. He lasted 3 or 4 years, didn't work. So that's the thing that bothers me a little bit about how this has transpired. And I understand what they wanted, and I'm not opposed to it all the way, but it's rarely worked in college basketball. And I don't know if that's going to work at Auburn, because like Stephen Pearl said at the press conference, maybe not a lot of people, he said, maybe not a lot of people were lining up for this job because of the shoes they had to fill with Bruce Pearl. I don't know if that's true or not. Doesn't seem like it would be true. I would think a lot of people would be lining up for the job. But is Stephen Pearl the right person without head coaching experience and, you know, just with the experience he has, just being Bruce Pearl's son? And he talked about his career in basketball. He went to Tennessee to play. He wasn't a scholarship player. He was Bruce Pearl's son, and he was a walk-on, and he's only coached for Bruce Pearl. So did Auburn do this right, or should they maybe have gone after a guy like Todd Golden at Florida, a Bruce Pearl guy, and said, we'll double your salary?
Yeah, I think even if they went after Todd Golden, I don't think he would come, just because he just won the national championship, and he's got a good thing going there. But man, and on top of everything else, he's doing it in the best conference of basketball in the country.
Yeah.
So he's coming in. I mean, he's dealing against Golden, Rick Barnes, the other coaches in the SEC that have these track records, national championships tied to their name. And here we are with a first-time head coach at Auburn, son of Bruce Pearl. I mean, like, once again, we're going to support him. We're going to wish him all the best. Whatever we can do to help, we're going to try as fans. It does seem like it was almost, it happened on the first day of practice too. So, I mean, it's like this had to be planned for, like I said, weeks, maybe months, because you just don't do this without knowing what's going to happen, because no one could come at this point anyway. When the first day of practice was, you know, yesterday, or the day it was announced, it's strange, but like you said, it's happened with other people throughout time. It's just the son's been there. The dad had a good track record, has won a lot. what's helped the dad out by letting the son coach. But we're going to find out pretty quick, I think, in this first year if he's up to par and can handle all of this.
Yeah. And the one good thing they talked about at the press conference, I thought, that Steven talked about was keeping the staff in place. And they have been very successful. And like you said, we're going to find out pretty quick how this is going to turn out, I would think, in the first couple of years. But can Steven Pearl do it on his own? Is this staff able to do it on their own without the head guy, Bruce Pearl, there to lead the ship? Because there's no question about it. Bruce Pearl, whether he was, you know, at a smaller college, whether he was at Tennessee, whether he was at Auburn, it was his ship and he was leading the way, and his personality, you know, got those big crowds at Auburn and started getting people interested in Auburn basketball. And then the winning came in year three and year four. And so it's going to be interesting to see, can this carry on with this same regime?
And that is for sure. I mean, no doubt that Bruce was the alpha, and it was always in his system. Wherever he went, he was the head dog, and he had his assistants help. But it was the Bruce Pearl show. And like you said, he took him a few years to establish things. But prior to Bruce Pearl, we were, you know, Lebo and Tony Barbie, and they couldn't get people to come for free. Now you can't get a ticket because of what Bruce Pearl's done. So it's going to be interesting to see what Steven Pearl can do. What kind of coach is he going to be? Is he going to be a rah-rah coach, be in your face, mad, happy, or is he going to be kind of calm and take things a different way than Bruce did? But Bruce could always get the crowd up. He could always get his players up. You know, that's just, he's been under his dad's watch for quite a few years. So maybe, I'm sure some of it's rubbed off, but like I said in previous segment, that it's going to come down to a game when they're on the road or they're at home and it's tied with 5 seconds left. Is he going to be able to know who to make that call to? Is he going to get tight? It's going to be his first time ever being in that kind of situation. Will he excel in that? That's the $1 million question. And we'll find out this year.
Yeah. And I think he's had a little bit of that. I think he's had a little bit of that experience with Bruce, that Bruce has kind of let him do that in the past year or two. So I'm not sure. I think he'll be able to handle that part of it. The other part was, as far as the current players that we have on the roster, can we keep them with this coaching change? And that seemed to be a little bit of a question mark. So that'll be interesting to see how that happens in the next couple of days or weeks also. And almost all new faces on this ball club coming back also. And Steven Pearl mentioned that this is going to be a different kind of club, maybe play a little bit faster, maybe a little bit more pressure on defense because of the different kind of players they have on the roster this year, not actually coming back, but on the roster now.
Yeah, I agree. And like you mentioned, the portal window is open. I guess when Bruce Pearl retired, there's a 30-day window for players to make their choice if they want to stay or go. Hopefully they're going to stay because most basketball programs have started practice or will be starting practice soon. So hopefully all of our guys will stay. And I know Steven had a big part in recruiting those guys here. But you were correct as far as the offense we're going to run this year or the team itself. We don't have the big 7-footers, 7'6", 10", Janai and Dylan Cardwell. We got a couple of tall guys, but our guys can shoot. They're fast, I think, and I think many others as well think that it's going to be the Tahad show. We're going to run a lot of things through Tahad. If he can pass, if he can shoot, we got the shooting guards. We got guys that we brought in from Portal that we recruited from JUCO. We're going to have to find a way to get that chemistry going to get that synergy happening like we had in previous years. But yes, I do believe it's going to be a different system this year based on the players we do have. And that happens every year, but we did lose quite a few. But I am excited to see a kind of a, maybe a run and gun type offense this year with that Bruce Pearl or Steven Pearl signature good defense as well.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not sure Tahad can do it all that much one-on-one with his size. He's an exciting player to watch, no question about that. But it'll be fun to watch him and see what happens this year. Kevin, is there one moment that sticks out in the Bruce Pearl era to you that you think about and say, this encapsulates Bruce Pearl?
I just think there's two moments I can think of. We were at Moe's Barbecue once for the talking the coaches show one night, and my middle daughter, Catherine, I believe she was probably 7 or 8 at that time, got on the mic and asked him a question about Katie Johnson. And she said, you know, what's it like coaching KD? And he had the perfect answer. He said, you know, he's a maniac. It's wild. One minute he's going calm, 1 minute he's going 100 miles an hour. And he answered that question. Now, another memory that we have is always after the games, even at an 8 p.m. game, with it being 10 o'clock at night, we would go down and try to talk to the players and talk to him. He always had time for us. We got lots of pictures with him. We got autographs with him throughout the years, but he always talked to the Auburn family. He just didn't brush people off and go back to the locker room and talk to the players. Once again, he was a person of the people, and he loves his community. And honestly, he's going to stay here for quite a while. But just the man himself, becoming a part of this community when he had gotten in trouble at Tennessee and had that time off, I think he reflected on things and came to Auburn with a different perspective, and he really became part of this Auburn community, Auburn family.
No question about that, with all the charity work he has done and becoming a part of the community in Auburn. Kevin Fichtner is with us from the Plains, talking some Auburn basketball and football. And Kevin, let's talk a little bit of football when we get back. Rudy Johnson unfortunately left us this week. I know he was in school about the time you were, so we'll get your thoughts on that and also talk some about the Oklahoma game last week and also Texas A&M coming up for the Auburn Tigers this week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Horizon Financial Halftime Report after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Talking some Auburn football now. Kevin Fichtner is with us from the Plains. And Kevin, great to have you with us, War Eagle. It's been an up and down week for football news. The big news coming midweek this week was Horatio Fields at practice, I think on Tuesday of this week, unfortunately, broke his foot. We've got one of the best receiving corps in the country, they tell us. But that's a big loss for this weekend at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, he's been part of the offense, a heavy part of the offense this year for us. He had that third down catch against Baylor to keep a drive going to help win that game. And yes, we have been touted as having one of, if not the best wide receiver group in the country room. Well, who's going to step up? It's going to be Perry Thompson. Who's it going to be? The guy Mobile you mentioned earlier. We're going to need some. We saw what Cam could do last weekend in Oklahoma, but we need some other guys in Singleton as well to step up. You know, we got sacked 10 times against Oklahoma. Some of that was O-line. Some of that was Jackson Arnold holding on to the ball too long. But why not just throw it up to Cam or these other guys as much as we can while establishing the run somewhat to make things happen. But it's going to be a big loss for Auburn, I think. But if we are the best wide receiver room in the country, other guys can hopefully step up.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get Horatio back. I'm not sure how bad the break was or where it was, but hopefully we can get him back in a month or so to play the end of the season. But you're right, it's next guy up, and we need those guys right now. Plenty of guys at Auburn at wide receiver, as we've heard from the coaching staff, that can fill that role. But a big loss with Horatio Fields out for a couple of weeks here. I want to talk about Rudy Johnson for a minute. We lost him tragically earlier this week. It looks like, as a result, again, of many college players and NFL players, of traumatic brain injury from his time playing football. I know he was in school during close to the time you were in school, and everybody remembers Rudy and the fantastic runs that he made around the turn of the century there. But just your thoughts, your reflections on him as a football player and those runs where he could not be tackled on the way down the field at Auburn.
Yeah, there was a time in Auburn history back in the mid-90s, a little past Steven Davis, where we didn't have a big running back, you know, to carry the load, to go on big runs, to power through a first and goal from the 3-yard line or 2-yard line. Then Rudy came and changed all of that. He was a big back. He was a power back, but also had speed and was elusive. I was here in 95 and 99. He was here, I believe, in 99 is when he started. So I got to see him as a student in the student section and then followed him the last couple of years of his career when I was in the real world and he was still here at Auburn. Funny story, my schnauzer, we named him Rudy J. Fickner. So, like, we loved him that much and admired him that much because he was pretty much carrying Auburn football there for a few years. So, my schnauzer that lived to be 15 years old, he was Rudy J. Fickner. So, I mean, Rudy had a very positive effect on me, and I'm sure other Auburn fans as well. I mean, he did a lot of good things for Auburn while he was here during his time and then went on to the NFL and had a good career in the NFL as well.
He did. He did.
It is tragic, though, that so many of these guys that I think he was an advocate for helping to get rehab or learning to work with others to get people that have had these CTE, these concussions problems, get it out in the community, talk to people more, find help. And I think he was an advocate for that. But here we are. He still, you know, took his own life because of something like this as well. So
yeah,
you can never tell.
We've had a couple of those lately with Terry Beasley as well. And and I see every time I watch an NFL game or even a college game now, I think of that, how fast, how hard these guys hit and how much are we going to see of that in the future? But
They try to do well with the helmets. They try to do well with the officiating now. But at the end of the day, you're still taking a big hit to the head and it affects everybody differently. And the more you do it, obviously, the better it's not going to be, the better you're not going to be.
Yeah. As my coach used to say in high school, football is not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. So, but Rudy was 45, I think, left us way too early. We send our thoughts and prayers to his family, and we'll be thinking about them this week and in the coming days. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Oklahoma last week, Kevin, that was quite an experience. One of the, I hate to dwell on it again, but that was one of the most game-changing referee efforts we've ever seen, with the scoop and score, first of all, which I thought there was really no question about, not even worth reviewing. And then the trick play, the hideout play that Oklahoma ran. And I'm still not understanding what the repercussions are. Obviously, there's some for the referee group, but what are the repercussions for Oklahoma and the coaching staff for, as their former coach Bob Stoops said, practicing a couple of these plays all week and then running it in the game? Obviously, the play, as according to the SEC, is illegal. So is that something you can do? You can just practice those in the week and run them in the game?
What I understood is that the coaches actually told the refs this may happen during the game. So the refs had a heads up.
Yeah.
But they should know the rule. They get paid to know the rules of college football. You know, the fans think we know the rule, but the refs actually are the ones that are supposed to implement them and know the rules. And that was not a legal formation, a legal play, but yet it happened. You know, and like you said, the fumble when he made two steps and caught it. Come on, guys. I mean, it always happens to Auburn, it seems like, for some reason. And all the commissioners think he could do was say, I'm sorry, we're going to slap them on the wrist. But we still have an L by our name because of that game. Now, it wasn't just those two plays, but, man, those two plays made a big difference. Of course, they missed, you know, the pass interference on Cam when the back judge is not even looking at the play. He got faked from the pass from the Jackson Arnold to the running back, and he got drawn on that.
But we did score on that drive.
We did score on that drive, but, man, those two other plays, the fumble, scoop, and score that our defense got, and then that play that he went to the sideline, and it was not a legal play, but they counted it. Those are two big plays when you're on the road and you're taking 10 sacks and you're playing against the crowd. It's tough. It was tough. It was tough to eat that one. And then the last 3 or 4 days, we've heard other news from, like you said, Rudy Johnson, and then basketball. And now the quarterback for Oklahoma did break his wrist in the first quarter. And the SEC schedule came out for the next 3 years. So Auburn's been in the news, good or bad, the last 5 days in a row. And the fans are very upset at what happened. And, we got to shake it off, and the players do especially, because they got to go back on the road and play Texas A&M on Saturday.
Yeah, it's very tough to go on the road 2 weeks in a row in the SEC, especially two road trips like that. The thing that gives me a little bit of hope, Kevin, is if Auburn takes care of business, and I'm not overly optimistic that they will the rest of the season, but if they happen to do well the rest of the season, maybe the committee, if they're in the playoff discussion, comes back and says, remember that Oklahoma game? Maybe Auburn should have, possibly could have won that game. So that may not hurt us as much if we get into that position, but we've got an unbelievably tough schedule to get there because we've got Texas A&M on the road this weekend. They're playing well. They had a week off. Then we have a week off and we play Georgia. And then we've got Missouri coming into Jordan-Hare and they're playing pretty well.
Yep. They're undefeated. And then we got to go to Vandy at some point. They're currently undefeated. We do go to Arkansas, and I'm thinking by that time that Pittman's gone and Petrino's calling plays there and is the head coach at that point. So that'll be interesting as well. His second time in leadership at Arkansas and then playing his former team, Auburn. But we'll worry about them down the road. And of course, we still have Bama. So, man, we don't have a tough stretch as, like, I guess, a Florida who's playing top 10 teams every week now, it seems like. But yes, our tough stretch is happening right now. And we do control our own destiny still, but we have to go one game at a time. I know it sounds cliche, but let's get Texas A&M, go there, see what we can do. If we can get a win, we get an off week, rest some of our guys. And then Georgia's playing Bama this week, so they'll be beat up a little bit. And then they come to us in 2 weeks for a night game, our first night game against Georgia in quite some time. So, and they've beaten us 8 times in a row. So the fans, the players, everybody's going to be excited for that game.
We are certainly due for a win over the Dogs, that's for sure. But what do you want to see? Kevin Fichtner joining us from the Plains, talking a little college football. A&M this weekend, I think, again, like last week, they're about a touchdown favorite over us on the road. What do you think Auburn will come out and do without Horatio Fields this week? Coach Hugh Freeze mentioned after last week that as far as the sacks, we had 10 of them last week. He said about half were due to the offensive line and half were due to Jackson Arnold holding the ball a little bit too long, not having that confidence in his receivers. So do we try to establish the run against A&M this week, you think?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. On the road, it's a great thing to establish a run. Take the crowd out of the game, make them get bored because we're going on an 8, 9 minute drive or 7 minute drive, whatever it might be. But yes, if you're taking 10 sacks against Oklahoma, and the coach even said it himself, half of that's on Jackson Arnold, half of that's on the O-line, why not try to establish the run? And then offensively, if we're not doing the run, do some quick slants, do some quick passes, get rid of that ball. You can't hold on to that ball, Jackson. Obviously, the scramble is an option for him too, but it didn't work against Oklahoma that well. We've got to do some things to get rid of that ball quicker. And we had a good run game against Oklahoma. We just didn't go to it enough. I think we need to keep grinding, keep pounding that rock, and maybe that'll open up the play action. And worst come to worst, just throw it up to Cam Coleman 3 or 4 times in a row. He's going to catch it. He's going to draw a DPI. Something good will happen, whether he's double covered or not, when you throw it his way.
We had a couple of those we missed last week, which could have been big, big plays for us. And finally, when we got in the red zone, we did throw it up to Cam Coleman. And what happened?
He scored.
He
He
caught
got a
it for a
touchdown.
touchdown, right? So
Exactly. Whoa, who knew,
we've got to do that more often in the next few weeks and the rest of this season. But you
We got to
mentioned.
feed that guy. Like you said, we got to feed that guy. He is our number one guy. He's the one we're paying the most money to in the NIL. Find him, throw it his way, get it up high. He will make something happen.
Yeah, and I think you got to do that, exactly what you're saying, like we've been talking about. Get Cam Coleman the football, and then once you do that, I don't know how many times I've seen Eric Singleton at Georgia Tech, got to get him down the field, not these hitch patterns. That's fine once in a while, but he is a fantastic receiver down the field also, and I think we've got to get him down the field and make some big plays like Cam.
Yeah, there's a reason why he had the most yards in college football last year. I mean, he can do that type stuff. So Can our O line hold up long enough for Jackson to get enough time to throw it his way? We'll see.
The one good, really good thing I thought last week, Kevin, which hopefully continues to this week, is the defense. I thought they were certainly good enough to beat Oklahoma on the road. They didn't give up a lot except for the beginning of the game a little bit, and then that last drive that Oklahoma had. Other than that, I thought, DJ and his guys were fantastic last week.
Yeah, we put all our money in the NIL and the portal towards the offense in the offseason, but the defense is the one that kept us in that game last week. People have talked about Ball State and Baylor. We didn't play well on defense, but last week against Oklahoma, we played great. That defense played really good. They kept us in that game no matter, the punt that our punter stepped the other way and took it, fell down and missed field goals. And, the defense kept us in that game, and they're on that field quite often, and they did good things. They hit big. They made tackles. They wrapped up. There was no second or third efforts or breakaways from Oklahoma. I was very impressed with our defense on the road.
They were good. We'll need another good effort from DJ Durkin and the guys this weekend as we go on the road to Texas A&M. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other big games in the conference this week outside of Auburn and A&M. Stay with us right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, we've got a couple minutes left here. Let's go around the SEC. We talked about Georgia, Alabama at Georgia this week. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, both had an off week last week. I think Georgia's going to do just fine. Bama's, they're past the Nick Saban era. I think Georgia's going to win. I don't know if it's going to be big or not, but I feel Georgia's going to win at home against Bama.
All right, we've got a couple other big games. Arkansas, Notre Dame, the early game this week. And I think when I looked at it last, the Irish were only about a 4-point favorite. What do you think on that one?
If Notre Dame loses this game and has three losses and they're still ranked in the top 25, I don't know what's going to happen. People's minds are going to explode. But I think Notre Dame will put up a fight. But this is Sam Pittman's last run if he wants to still remain being head coach of Arkansas. So he better pull something out. Petrino better pull. They can score points. But the last 2 weeks, once against Ole Miss and last week against Memphis, they fumbled late in the game with either the lead or driving to tie or score. So they can score points with Petrino's offense. But can they beat Notre Dame? I'm sure that would be exciting for their fans, but I'm pulling for Arkansas on this one.
All right, a couple of big games also in just a minute or so here. LSU and Ole Miss, I think at Ole Miss.
I think LSU takes that one. They are hot right now. They got Nussmeier. Brian Kelly's having a great year so far. Ole Miss has struggled to win the games that they've won. We're going to see what they're made of, but I got LSU in this game.
I'm going to take Ole Miss there. And then we got Tennessee and Mississippi State, and the Dogs have been playing pretty well.
They have, but I think Tennessee wins by two touchdowns, maybe 17. They have got an offense that it's hard to defend. They're fast. Heupel has a great quarterback. The other one's in UCLA doing terrible, and they got that Aguilar, and he's doing really good. They're putting up points, so I'm going Tennessee big.
All right, Kevin Fichtner with us. Could be a close one there between the Vols and the Dogs. It may be one of the more interesting games in the SEC this weekend. Appreciate Kevin being with us for the hour this week here on Tiger Talk Overtime. A couple of more notes before we leave you, a couple of golf notes. The Auburn women's golf team won the team title this week at the inaugural Canadian Collegiate Invitational in Aura, Ontario. Balma Davalos fired a career low 66 in the final round to finish runner-up individually, while Ann Fernandez earned a career best tie for third place there in Ontario. So congratulations to Coach Lou Ellen and the women's golf team. As far as the men's golf team, they'll be heading to Fort Worth, Texas Monday for the Ben Hogan Invitational, certainly one of the bigger tournaments of the fall campaign. And at the microphone on Monday, Jackson Coivin, who is back in Auburn after a whirlwind in the past month or so. He's been on the PGA Tour, playing at the Pro Core Invitational out in California, close to where he grew up in Napa, California. He grew up just up the road. But Jackson talked about that experience a little bit this week and how it has helped him and what he has learned in the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely tough out there. It's just a different lifestyle. Auburn's so great. Teammates are so great. But you get out there, it's definitely a lot self-centered. And it's just a complete 180 from college golf. And that's definitely something that kept me coming back.
Jackson finishing eventually fourth in the Pro Corps Championship out in California, close to his old stomping grounds, as we mentioned. And he's had a number of good finishes on the PGA Tour, which might have tempted him a little bit to take the dip into the PGA Tour. But he has decided to come back to Auburn for his junior campaign. And Auburn is certainly better for that. Also, recently, he was one of the leading members of the Walker Cup team out in California as well at Cypress Point, right next to Pebble Beach out there. And Jackson talked about that experience and what it was like to do the team golf experience on that level.
That might have been one of the best experiences of my life, getting back to California, getting with a lot of friends that were on the U.S. team and being able to go out there and get a win. That was unbelievable. There's so many family and friends out there to support me and my teammates. And Cypress Point is truly one of the best golf courses in the world, and do it at a place like that, it's just, I can't put it in words.
All right. So congratulations to Jackson on all his achievements outside of Auburn, and good luck to the team. Coach Nick Kleiner, Jackson, Josiah Gilbert, all the guys heading down to Fort Worth, Texas for the Ben Hogan next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Also want to talk a little Auburn volleyball, as Kate Mansfield was named the Defensive Player of the Week this week, and the Auburn volleyball team in their SEC opener, I believe, this weekend against arch rival Alabama, Friday night on the plane. So if you're going to be in Auburn, make plans to be with the volleyball team at Neville Arena Friday night against the Crimson Tide of Alabama. And that is about all the time we have for tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you joined us again. Texas A&M and Auburn coming up this weekend. You can hear the game right here on FM Talk 106.5. And if you want to follow Auburn sports all through the week, we invite you to join us on our website, WarEagleTV.com. That'll take you directly to our social media, our X page, and our YouTube page, where you can be a part of the show, WarEagleTV.com, all through the week for the very latest in Auburn athletics. Always appreciate Kevin Fichtner being with us on the show. Great conversation and insight into Auburn athletics. As we talked about tonight, a number of big topics as far as Auburn athletics. Bruce Pearl stepping down and Stephen Pearl stepping in to try to fill his shoes as far as college basketball. Big shoes to fill on the Auburn Plains as far as that is concerned. We'll see how it goes. And again, Auburn and Texas A&M, the Tigers need a big win. It is, again, a must win really now for the Tigers this weekend at Texas A&M. Catch the pregame here. Catch the ballgame here at 2:30. FM Talk 106.5. It's a tough track for the Tigers the rest of the way, as they have A&M, an off week, and then Georgia, and then Missouri coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's not going to be easy, but it's still doable for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers. That's all the time we have until next week right here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Doug Holton saying War Eagle. Until then.